Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj, Goprem. Okay. So tonight we'll finish chapter 17. We'll go from verses 13 to 25. Does anyone remember what the chapter is called? The history. So here, what do we hear in the beginning of the chapter? Yeah, so we hear about the history of Kaliya, why he was hiding in that particular lake in the Jamuna, from the curse of Salvari Muni. So basically, the basic message of the early part of the chapter is, once again, the Bhagavatam is emphasizing the necessity of avoiding Vaishnava Aparad, or offending devotees. Salvari offended Garuda, Kaliya offended Garuda, and it was the downfall of both of them. That's the basic message. So tonight we'll finish the chapter. We'll go from verses 13 to 25. Based upon the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. Resuming his description of Krishna's chastisement of Kaliya, Shukadeva Goswami continued, Krishna rose up out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances and garments, covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they all stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person, senses, coming back to life. Filled with great joy, they affectionately embraced him. So there's not many purports here. Now, Prabhupada's followers, they haven't written many purports, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on most of the verses. So we'll discuss from what he has commented. In the various verses. So he says that Krishna came out of the water. So Krishna was on the island, which is in the middle of the Jamuna. And then at some point, Krishna may have also gone underneath the water to the... there was a palace made of water, which Kaliya lived in, underneath the Jamuna, with his family members. So Krishna has just been worshipped, most likely on the island, by Kaliya and his wives. And they offered him various ornaments and garlands and sandalwood poles and like that. So it describes here that Krishna comes across the water to the bridge buses. Now the bridge buses see him coming across. It describes that he has fresh garlands on, fresh jewels on, fresh sandalwood poles. And it doesn't discuss that Krishna was wet. So then the question might be, why is it that Krishna could come across and Krishna is not wet? So it means that the Jamuna is quite deep. So Krishna hasn't come swimming across, but he's almost walked across the top of the water. So how is that possible? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Kaliya has ordered all of the snakes, his assistants, his followers, to go underneath the water and create like stepping stones. So Krishna only has to go into his ankles. So Krishna is like going across, like sometimes you cross a river and you just put your ankles in. You might find some stones in the river. So then you're crossing like that, going across. And then as you go across, then only your ankles are getting wet. So Krishna's garland and everything remains dry. So they're doing the service for Krishna. So Kaliya is trying to make up. So Kaliya is trying to make up for his offense, because he committed a great offense towards Krishna. So after the offense has been committed, now he is doing everything in his power to serve the great personality. Now, in the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur describes there are 10 offences against the holy name. Now, what is the first offense? Yeah, so it's called sadhu-ninda. Sadhu-ninda means Vaishnava aparad. It means you're offending devotees. So that is the first offense against the holy name. The holy name is Krishna. Abhinitva nama nama no. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So when you offend a devotee, you are offending Krishna, right? Which is natural. Just like if you offend someone in my family, I'll take offense. That's natural. When you offend the child or the wife or the brother or someone, and then the family takes offense. So it is natural that Krishna takes offense when the devotees are offended. That's called sadhu-ninda, Vaishnava. So in the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur goes through the 10 offenses to the holy name, and then he gives the remedy if you commit the offense to blaspheme the devotees, to Vaishnava aparad, then what do you do? So he says you have to go to the devotee and you have to beg for forgiveness. You have to fall down at the devotee's feet and you pray. And Haridas Thakur says the Vaishnavas are naturally soft-hearted. That is the quality of a devotee. The heart is soft. So they will be compassionate and they will forgive you. However, he says you must continue to serve them to destroy any traces of the offense. So Kaliya, here he is serving Krishna. There's a big offense, a serious offense, a huge offense. He's offended the devotees, the cows, the holy man of Vrindavan, the river Jamuna, Garuda. The huge offences are being committed. So because of these offences, then he has to nullify. So now he's doing everything in his power to nullify. So we should always also do like that. You commit an offence, you go to the devotee, you beg forgiveness, but then you have to serve that devotee continuously, for a long time. And Haridas Thakur says, if you commit a very serious aparad to a devotee, and that devotee doesn't want to forgive you, then what will you do? So it says that if the devotee won't forgive you because the offense is too serious, you have to take complete shelter of the holy name. And you have to chant the holy name consistently or non-stop. Just continuously chant the holy name. And Nam Prabhu, the holy name, he will forgive you gradually. When he sees that you're... If the devotee won't forgive you, then Krishna will forgive you eventually. If Krishna knows you are seriously repentant in your heart. The Vaishnava aparad is a very serious thing. You have to be very careful about offending the devotees. So, it says that when Krishna, in the Sanskrit, when Krishna comes across the river, he's running across the water, so to speak. Then as he's coming towards the bridge buses, they feel like their life comes back. So Krishna gives life to every jiva. He gives life to us. We are only existing or alive because of Krishna. And we are only feeling blissful because of contact with Krishna. When we're in contact with Krishna, we feel blissful. When you're not in contact with Krishna, you feel miserable. So in the material world, you're always going to feel miserable from one circumstance or another. That's the nature of this material world. You always feel something. Nothing's fair. I was just speaking to a devotee friend on the way. I haven't spoken to this person for a long time. So the devotee rang me while I was driving up here to Melbourne. And then the devotee was saying that, this problem is there and that problem is there and that problem is there. So that's the material world. Always some distasteful or dissatisfying circumstances there. But if you are taking shelter of Krishna, you feel blissful, even in the most difficult situations. Because Krishna is blissful. So by associating with Krishna, you also become blissful. That is your constitutional position. Satchitananda Vigraha. Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. We are also Satchit Ananda Vigraha. We are made of bliss. And we will be blissful when we're with Krishna. And if we're not with Krishna, we'll be miserable. So Krishna, he comes, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Bhagavatam says, everyone comes back to life. Just seeing him come across the water. And then, it says when he comes out, he gets back onto the shore, he crosses across the water, he gets back onto the shore. Who are the first people to approach him and embrace him? Out of all the bridge bossies, who's first? Some people say Mother Yashoda. Some people say the Gopis. Some people say Nanda Maharaj. A lot of mental speculation in this room. The cowherd boys are the best. Because boys are just like that. Boys will just run. They just ran to Krishna. They didn't care about anything. They just ran and just grabbed him. You're back, you're back. So then Krishna came. And then we'll hear what happens. Who comes next? Everyone's trying to come. Any points? You got a point or not?
I was just going to ask, like, there seems to be a lot of repetition of things that I'm noticing from Srimad Bhagavatam in later religions, like the walking on water, for example.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence, or is it because Krishna did it first, it can happen again, or...?
It's copyright.
It's copied.
Copyright.
Oh, copies.
Yeah, you do something and you put copyright on it, so no one else can do it. The Krishna didn't put copyright, so then everyone else did it as well. But everything comes from Krishna.
It's a reflection of Jesus.
No, it means that all these later traditions, Christianity, for example, it's a much later tradition. It's new compared to the Vedic tradition. So it's just stuff that took place earlier on, and then it gets repeated all. It's like in the Bible they have this story of Noah's Ark. So that's in the Bhagavatam, or in Matsya, the Matsya avatar. Then he is taking the Vedas across the ocean in an ark, and the animals were put on the ark. So it's the same story. But then it just gets repeated later on by God. Any other points?
You said there was a difference also considered within families and family. Even the family national chastise and family
deal. Which family?
Then the husband, wife, children. There was a devotee, you know, but you're not up to say that you are a servant.
So what's the question?
You deal differently with different situations, is that considered an offense or...?
Yeah, it means you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Like, you have to chastise the children, otherwise they don't develop any character. Yeah, if you say to your kids, hey, quieten down like that. And you say, oh, please forgive me, I didn't mean to. No, anything like that. Then it doesn't work. So that's your duty. If you don't chastise, they don't develop good character. So you have to. And then between the husband and wife, you have to be very careful. Because husband and wife always argue. Now, that's eternal. They can't stop. That is part of the material energy. So otherwise, but you have to be very careful because sometimes it goes too far, one side or the other. So you have to be very careful. I mean, there will always be disagreements, but we should act like Vaishnavas. We disagree, but then we discuss it properly, because it can turn into aparad. So you have to be careful. And even with the kids, if you go too far with the kids, that can be aparad as well. We have to correct them, but if you go too far, then you have to. So it has to be the right balance. So, okay. Any other points?
Okay, you mentioned the cowherd boys. So are they also in the box? Because
are they what?
Books are different cowherd boys. The children of the book box.
Yeah, it means Krishna's friends, his age, they ran to him first. The older ones are back further. Now it discusses who comes. Having regained their vital functions, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, and all the other cowherd women and men went up to Krishna. O descendant of Kuru, even the dried up trees came back to life. So, it says that the cowherd boys went first. So technically, there needed to be etiquette there. Etiquette means, you know, Mother Yashoda should have been allowed to, she's the mother. You know, sometimes your mother might be trying to get to you and then your friends just run in the way. So it's like it's breaking the etiquette. But the prema is so strong, everyone's just forgetting the etiquette at this point in time. Because the love for Krishna, and sometimes etiquette will be broken through prema, through love, or through very strong attachment. We'll do things which normally we would not do. So in the position of the pure devotees, Krishna's eternal associates, then, you know, there should have been some understanding of the situation, but they just ran. So then, even Nanda Maharaj, you know, because all the Matajis came forward, the friends came, and then Mother Yashoda comes with Rohini and the mothers, right? Rohini and Yashoda's close friends, they came. And then, normally in the Vedic culture, the men and the women won't touch. You know, that's the Vedic etiquette. You see the women on one side, the men on one side. So, you know, like, if we're in a social situation, we don't just, if a man, you don't just walk straight through the women. And especially, you physically avoid touching. So you try to keep separate, that's etiquette. So in Vrindavan, they follow all these etiquettes, because they're cultured. Any cultured society, they follow these things. So, Nanda Maharaj, he is so overwhelmed with his attachment to Krishna, he just walks straight through the women. He doesn't care. You know, his son almost died. So there's no fault. Even in this world, there's no fault. You know, normally we do this. If one of the children, you know, almost drowned, then you just run through. You know, no one's going to say anything. No one's going to say, oh, that was wrong. So the point is, the love is what is the predominating feature of the Bhagavatam. Because what is the goal of the Bhagavatam? Is Prayojana. Prema Kumata Mahan. That is the goal. The whole goal of everything is prema. It is love for Krishna. So in love for Krishna, it's just completely natural. There's no, you know, no one thinks about the etiquette. They just think about Krishna and his welfare. So they just want to be with Krishna. They just come. No one's thinking, oh, you know, should I go first? Should I go second? Who's there? Is it okay if I cross through? Now, the only ones who are hanging back are who?
Gopis.
Yeah, the young gopis. All the old gopis are there, but all the young gopis are back. Because they can't come forward. Because if they come forward, everyone will know there's some attachment, some relationship. So it's all hidden. So they're standing back. In their hearts, they also want to run forward. They have to follow social etiquette. There's a circumstance later on when Krishna goes to Mathura, which we'll study next year, or the year after, probably next year. When he goes to Mathura, even they break the etiquette. Because when he's put on a chariot and he's about to go, Radharani goes crazy. Radharani goes, man, she runs up, she grabs the chariot. Says, you know, no one is taking it. They're even in front of everyone, they just completely, normally they would not do it. But here they're holding back because they don't want anyone to find out. Any points? Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and laughed, knowing well the extent of Krishna's potency. Out of great feelings of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. The cows, bulls, and young female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. So, Lord Balaram because Lord Balaram is calm. Everyone else is not calm. The bridge busses are beside themselves. But Balaram is not, because he understands there is no danger. Krishna had this under control. There wasn't a danger there. So he is back a little, and now everyone's calming down a little, and everyone's dispersing, and everyone's crowded around Krishna, but now everyone's moving back. So then Balaram is sitting, and he pulls Krishna over. He says, "Come." And so Krishna comes over, he brings him, he puts him on his lap, and then he's smiling. And it says that he's inspecting Krishna's body, because he wants to make sure this snake hasn't bit him anywhere. So he's looking at him very carefully, just looking, making sure there's no bites or anything. You know, just looking up to him. He knows that this is love, once again. Yeah, he knows there's no problem, because he's Krishna. But still, out of prema, and then out of vatsalya bhav, he's the older brother, so there's a feeling of, I have to protect him. So he's just checking his body, is he okay? Making sure everything is as it should be. And then he says to Krishna, he says, "You have done the right thing. You did the right thing." Because we don't like hurting other people. Hands up if you like hurting other people. We don't like it. We don't want to hurt. Sometimes we have to. Right? Sometimes you have to come and smash someone. Right? We don't like it. You know, but if someone goes crazy here in the temple, starts attacking the devotees, we go and we crunch him. You know, a few years ago on Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada Vyasa Puja, a fight broke out in the Prasadam line. You know, one crazy guy, maybe you don't remember. 10 years ago, maybe, I can't remember.
It was recently.
Was it?
Last year.
Oh, upstairs, that guy? Yeah, that wasn't so bad, but these guys actually started fighting. They're on the ground, like rolling around, and like, you know. So we were sitting there, and then my brother, Christian, you know, he saw there's some. I didn't know what was going on, I just heard noise. I thought, I don't know what was going on. But he jumped up and he ran over, he grabbed the guy, right? And then I thought, okay, now I have to get involved, because my brother just ran in. So I went over and I grabbed the other guy. And then, you know, they're in the temple. So we got angry with them. And we said, hey, if you act like this, we'll throw you out. You know, so I picked up this guy, and then Kripa Siddha came from this side. He just went, boom, just hit the guy. You know, because he was angry. You know, because this guy is in the temple, he's causing his problems. He came and slapped him. You know, he was ready to. I said, hey, just relax. You don't have to hit him. But the point is, we don't like to do like that. No one likes that. Especially, you know, in the temple, or, you know, in Vrindavan. You don't want to fight with someone. So Balaram said to Krishna, as his older brother, he said, you did the right thing. Because Krishna might be feeling a little bit bad. And he just, you know, spent an hour or two on this snake's head just kicking him. Okay. So Krishna may be feeling a little bit bad, but then he says to Krishna, he says, no, you did the right thing. This is good that you did this. Because Kali, you need a chastisement. So we don't like to chastise. Even Prabhupada said one time to his disciples, he said, I know you don't like it, that I chastise you. But it is my duty, so I must do it. So we don't like to chastise. You don't like to correct. Half the time when you correct someone, they don't like it. You know, they start acting all funny with you. Even they say to you, you know, you're a senior devotee, I respect you, but then when you tell them something, then they get all funny. And now it's like, oh. You're a senior devotee, but don't say anything to me. People get in this mood. So Prabhupada himself, he said, I don't like doing it, but I have to do it. It is my duty. I have to. So that is the system. Krishna doesn't enjoy these things. You know, on one level. One level he does enjoy it. He likes to. But on another level, he prefers not to do it. But then Balaram says, no, you did the right thing. It's good. Any points?
It's directly mentioned like it's direct Krishna who has done it, or you know, because we always chastise him, yeah, but we always understand that Krishna is only attached to the Madhuriya part.
Only one,
the rest, offered the killing of any demon, even demon, demon classes, like killing of demons done by his expansion and not himself.
Vasudeva, yeah, so, yeah, it's always Vasudeva, it's not Krishna. the original Krishna dances with the gopis, right, and plays with the cowherd boys and associates with Nanda and Yashoda like that, but he doesn't kill demons, the original form. When it's time to kill a demon, the expansion, he does that. Because Krishna himself is very soft. The original form, he doesn't like to do it. But he sends the expansion.
In this case, Kali was not killed.
Yeah, but it's generally it's mentioned. I haven't read anything where it says one or the other. But generally we see when Krishna gets into these situations, it's the expansion. Generally. I haven't seen it mentioned otherwise.
Didn't you say in one of the Kaliya pastimes, Krishna was dancing with the gopis? He pulled them onto. So is it Krishna Vrindavan doing the Madhurya with the gopis, or would it be Vasudeva killing the demon?
Hard to know. Hard to know. We'd have to see the commentary. Like I say, I haven't seen commentary. So I can't say because I don't know. I haven't seen it mentioned who it was, but I would think it would be Vasudeva Krishna.
Sorry, I didn't get actually what Maharaj was saying.
There's one pastime, not in the Bhagavad Gita, but there's a pastime when Krishna's dancing, and then the gopis come. Everyone runs to the river to see Krishna. So the Bhagavad Gita mentions that while Krishna is dancing, he looks at the gopis. And he looks at them that you and I will dance soon, like this, like rasa. Krishna's doing like a rasa dance, but by himself. So he looks at them, and his look says, soon we will also dance like this. We'll see in the Bhagavatam. Soon, another 12 chapters or so, and Krishna dances with the gopis. But then there's one pastime told, not in the Bhagavatam, but then he calls the gopis to come, and they jump up. And they all do like a rasa dance on top of Kaliya's hoods. Not here in the Bhagavad Gita, but that's mentioned.
Can it be both? Could it be both Krishna and
Jesus? I don't know. I can't say because I haven't read it. Okay. All the respectable brahmanas, together with their wives, came forward to greet Nanda Maharaj. They said to him, your son was in the grips of Kaliya, and by the grace of providence, he is now free. So the brahmanas came forward. The head brahmana came forward. What is his name? He is the chief brahmin in the court of Nanda Maharaj. What is his name? His name is Bhaguri. Bhaguri Muni. So he is like the family guru. Purohit. Whenever there is a jagya, he lives there with Nanda Maharaj in the capital, in Nandagram. And whenever there is a jagya, they call him and the others, but he is the chief. And he is the family priest. He does all the jagyas and all the rituals and all that. So then he says, it is by the grace of providence that your son is free. So he's giving some blessing. So it's interesting. He's saying by the grace of providence. So what is the Sanskrit? It says Dishya. Dishya means God. By the grace of God. So when someone protects us, or when we feel that we've been protected, then who do we say has protected us? Yeah, we say Krishna has done. But in Vrindavan, they don't say Krishna has done it. They say God has done it. Narayan has done it. Not Krishna. So they're saying because of God, then Krishna is protected. So that's how they feel. They don't say because of Krishna, Krishna is protected. They say God is protecting Krishna. So the Rishi is saying, God is protecting your son. The Brahmanas then advised Nanda Maharaj to assure that your son Krishna will always be free from danger. You should give charity to the Brahmanas. With a satisfied mind, O King, Nanda Maharaj then gladly gave them gifts of cows and gold. So that's the Vedic system. The Vedic system is Dakshina. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, the system has been ruined. You go to India, you know, and all the Brahmanas, they say Dakshina. Especially if you go to Nandagram, Krishna's village. Has anyone been there? You go to Nandagram, you go to Krishna's village, you've been? Yeah. And they harass you. These Brahmanas, these so-called Brahmanas. They harass you. Done. They follow you all the way down the hill. Done, and they just harass you until you give them something. Money. Just they're materialistic in consciousness. So in this day and age, people become materialistic. So it's hard to find real Brahmanas these days. Prabhupada said ISKCON has to create a class of real Brahmanas. So it means the devotees in ISKCON, they should be real Brahmanas. No, we're just doing everything we say, hey, done. Yeah? Charity, give. And dakshina. Then I'll give you blessing. Just like, you know, they look after the temples and things there in Vrindavan. Many of them are not very qualified. It's very money orientated. But still we give something sometimes, you know, maintain the temple and like that. And one time I was there, I gave something, you know, maybe, normally they get like 10 rupees, 20 rupees, maybe I get 100 rupees or something. And then the so-called Brahmin said, oh, nice donation. He started giving me blessings. Became very enthusiastic. But a Brahmin is not like that. A real Brahmin is not controlled by Dakshina. He would just give his blessing based upon the attitude of the personality. So we offer respect, and if he sees the proper respect is there, he gives the blessing. It's not based upon what he receives in remuneration. You know, a few years ago I was at Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan, and I was chanting at one holy place, and then there was one sadhu was living there, living in a little room. Very real sadhu. So every day I was coming there, chanting, and you know, he saw I was coming. First couple of days he just kind of looked at me, and he saw us coming. So next few days then I came, and he gave me a mat to sit on. He said, okay, the guy's coming, so you know, we'll give some reciprocation. But I could see he was not in this world. His consciousness was very elevated. You know, he was not attached. I mean, he's just highly advanced. So I'd come there every day and chant. And then after I'd been there for a few days, I was leaving. I thought I'd give some donation to him to maintain him. He's a real, real sadhu. So as I was leaving, I gave some, you know, 100 rupees or something. I don't know. It's a nice donation. He just looked at me and he said, He was no interest. It was genuine. Just genuine. It wasn't like some false thing. It was just genuine. He said, I insisted. No, you take. He's like, what do I need it for? What for? Why are you complicating my life? Like Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He lived to be 144. So they used to carry him in a basket. What was his servants?
Bihari.
That's a Bihari Lal. He was carrying him in the basket. So one time he was walking with him and someone gave a donation, 1 rupee. These days rupees not worth anything. Back then, you know, 1 rupee. So he threw 1 rupee in the basket, so he walked. And after a few feet, he said, hey, Bihari Lal, stop. And go back. So he walked back. And he got the rupee and threw it back out. Right? And he said, I've been carrying this rupee for 5 steps. And it's given me such a big headache. He said, you people, you carry this money all the time. I can't imagine what your minds must be like. How much anxiety you must have in the mind. One rupee, is it? Another time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, they gave him 200 rupees donation. Back then, that's big money. And maybe like these days, $2,000, something like that. So, you know, they gave him $2,000. So then he said to Bihari Lal, he said, okay, go and buy rasgullas and feed them to all the dogs in Navadvip. And then Bihari Lal said then, isn't it better we give them to all the sadhus? He said, they're all cheaters. They're all cheaters. He said, feed the dogs, they're genuine. They're real devotees. Not these sadhus, they dress up like sadhus, they do all sorts of things. And you feed the dogs. So he went 200 rupees of rasgulla, must be hundreds of rasgulla, thousands, feed all the dogs. Another time Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he's taking prasad, and then the puppy came. The puppy was eating from his plate. So they're eating together. So Bihari Lal, he saw that. So the next day, then he said, you know, I'm not going to let the dog come. So he locked the dog away in a room. And he's serving Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji. And he said, where is the puppy? And he said, no, he was eating on your plate yesterday. We don't. And he said, no. He said, I'm not going to eat until he comes. So they went and got the puppy and he came in, and they were sharing together, both eating together. Because his consciousness, he's seen that these are devotees, the animals in the holy dog. So, you know, these days the sadhus, the so-called brahmanas, they all want money. You go to the temple, it's all about money. This is not sadhu. Brahmana should not be like that. A brahmana will speak the truth no matter what happens. You give him money, or you don't give him money, he'll say the same thing to you. Sadhu means one who cuts. And you can't control him. But these days, you know, you give them money, oh, they're very happy. They give you the blessing. Even sometimes I go, maybe I don't have money, so you don't put anything in the donation plate. And then as you're walking off, they go, and they say something to you. I don't know what they say because I can't understand them. They say something. That's not proper. That's not the right etiquette. So here the brahmanas, they're saying, you should give, because that's why they all do it these days. They say, oh, I'm brahmana, you should give. Now, but back in the old days, Bhaguru is saying you should give to the brahmanas, because that is the system. If they're qualified, yes, you should give. Then you will get the blessings. Give them cows, give them gold. But these days you have to make sure they're qualified. Otherwise you give to them, who knows what they'll do with the money. So it means you should, you know, in this kind of should give to the advanced Vaishnavas. The ones who are going to use the money for preaching.
Didn't Brahmins have to be
There's examples. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's one Brahmin who's very wealthy, very rich, but they only live on charity, they don't work. But maybe they get lots of charity, but then they can. It's up to them how they want to live. Generally, Brahmanas are simple, generally. So they'll get money, but they won't use it so much for themselves. They'll use it for serving Krishna. The greatly fortunate Mother Yashoda, having lost her son and then regained him, placed him on her lap. That chaste lady cried constant torrents of tears as she repeatedly embraced him. So she waited for everyone to disperse. When everyone started going away, and you know, then she just took him, just put him on her lap. And she was just crying. Tears. And she was bathing him with his tears, and she was just washing his body. So the most intimate relationships. These are the most intimate relationships. You take God on your lap. It's the most intimate relationship. That's why Prabhupada said in 1977, before Prabhupada left this world, Prabhupada said the most fortunate persons in this world are the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram. So it means if you're a pujari and you directly worship the form of Gornitai or Radha Balabha or Jagannath Balabha Sambhaja or any of these deities, you're the most fortunate person because you can physically touch the deity, just like it's been spoken here. You can wash the deity's body. You know, in the morning, if you're fortunate, you can go in there, right? And you can bathe Gornitai, right? Put the chandan on and then take it all off and like that. So this is the most fortunate opportunity. It's just like being in the spiritual world. You can directly serve the deity. Or Radha Vallabhi, you can directly, you know, go in the altar. You know, and I haven't bathed Gornitai for a long time, but I used to bathe them in the past. And then in the beginning, before we put our head on their feet, there's no higher blessing. You can put, you know, your head on the feet of the deity. His deity is installed by Prabhupada himself. And Prabhupada installed Radha Balabha Gornitai. Jagannath Balaram Subhadra appeared to Prabhupada on the Rath Yatra. These deities are like the Ishtadeva of Prabhupada, personally installed. So that is the greatest fortune. So she has Krishna, and she just caressing his body, cleaning his body. O best of kings, Parikshit, because the residents of Vrindavan were feeling very weak from hunger, thirst and fatigue, they and the cows spent the night where they were, lying down near the bank of the Kali Nadi.
Although the people were weak from hunger and thirst, they took not drink the milk from the cow's presence, because they feared it had been contaminated by the serpent's worship. The residents of Vrindavan were so overjoyed to get back their beloved Krishna that they did not want to go back to their houses. They wanted to stay with Krishna on the bank of Yamuna so that they could continuously see him. Thus they decided to take a rest near the river bank.
Any points there?
How tired and exhausted must they have been? Like, normally you go back home, no matter how tired you are. But so it was a mixture of their tiredness, exhaustion, because it was such a big thing for them. Plus, they didn't want to disperse, they didn't want to leave him. So it was a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine it.
Yeah, because they're in total anxiety because they just spent hours watching him, you know, in the battle with the serpent. And then by the time he finishes, they come and they're just exhausted. And then they just want to they don't want to leave him now. So they all just say, let's all just sleep here tonight. So everyone just camps out on the bank of the Jamuna. They actually go a little bit away from the lake because they don't want to stay near that lake. Because it's inauspicious and there's all poison there from the snake. I don't want the cows to drink it. So they go away a bit. And then they camp there. And they spend the night together, all surrounding Krishna. And everyone just sleeps. And then the cows, because the cows drink the water, so they won't drink the milk because they think the milk is contaminated by the poison from the serpent. So they won't take the milk. They milk the cows, but they won't take the milk. They discard that milk, and then they take the milk from the next day. And also people in India, they're not very good at fasting. You'll see like Atul Krishna Prabhu, he told me that in Bangladesh, in ISKCON, in Bangladesh, so we have, just like in a few weeks, we have Janmashtami and Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. So back to back. So we all stay up all night, or we stay up all day, and then 12 o'clock at night, most of us eat. You don't have to, but most of us take prasad. And you get up in the morning, and then we fast again until... But Atul told me in Bangladesh, they just cook a big breakfast of rice and dal, and everyone just eats. Right? Because they can't fast. Bengalis, Bangladeshis, maybe other parts of India are better, but they can't fast. It just, to them, it's like even just doing that day before the Janmashtami, that's, you know, such an intense austerity for them. So then the next day, they take breakfast. You're not supposed to, but they all take breakfast. And then they have the feast, you know, later on at lunchtime. Like that. So also here, like they're all very weak. Sometimes in India, people find it difficult to fast.
Is this another example? You know how, like, when the ass was thrown to the tree and there was blood everywhere and they didn't eat the fruits because it was contaminated by blood? Mm. And it was an example of their discrimination. Mm. And they're pure, they have a higher taste. Mm. Is this another example of that?
Yeah, because, you know, the cows may be contaminated by the poison.
So blood, poison.
Yeah, these things. Snakes are inauspicious, so.
Yeah.
If a snake touches them, it's like, well, you know.
Are they analogies for something else?
Well, they're sinful. They have many. They represent many things, but they're sinful. It's a sinful birth. Anything else?
This description that we find Kalindi, you can see, which is we also see this song, Kalindi, Mulaji, Jema, is the another name of
Jamuna.
Bank of Kalindi.
Yeah, it's another name of Jamuna, Kalindi.
Because Kali is.
No, it's not because of Kali. Why is she called Kalindi? What is the. Kalindi. There'll be a meaning to the name. I'm not sure what the meaning is, but it's another name of Jamuna, Kalindi. No, it's not to do with Kaliya. It's called. Okay. During the night, while all the people of Vrindavan were asleep, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. The fire surrounded the inhabitants of Braj on all sides and began to scorch them. Janish, what are you wondering?
It is not that I was thinking of Srila Krishna Prasad from the Tapura. I have commented that perhaps a loyal friend of Kali had assumed the form of the forest fire in order to avenge his friend. Or perhaps the forest fire was manifested by the being who was.
So now the forest fire comes. So everyone's camping. This is Vrindavan. Huh? It's never peaceful. Just when you get peaceful.
It's like a soap opera.
Huh?
It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, it's like dramatic. Right? Krishna, he's called Rasika Shekha or Rasa Raj. He just likes to stir the rasa. So when everyone's just peaceful, they've had a big day, you all go to sleep, and then he starts a fire in the forest. And the fire comes in. Everyone's all awake, oh my God, like that. So it's like this continuously in the spiritual world. So the fire, Sanat Goswami Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it may have been a demon. A demon may have taken the form of the fire. It may have been one of Kamsa's friends, one of the demons, or it may have been one of Kaliya's friends. And even the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says they didn't sleep next to the Jamuna because Krishna kicked Kaliya out. He said, go, leave. But then some of them said to him, when we're asleep, he might come back. And snakes do that sometimes. When you're asleep, they come and they come and get you. So they said, let's not sleep next to the Jamuna. Let's go a little bit further. Like that. And then they all took rest there. And they said to Krishna, you sleep and stay in the middle. We've all got clubs. Right? And if he comes, we'll all attack him. You don't have to do it yourself. So they feel now to protect Krishna. They got no hope. You know. But they all feel like that. They feel like we will get up, we all attack him if he comes.
Or maybe they feel like they don't
want to
go through that again, that anxiety.
Well, they don't want him to be hurt.
Yeah.
So they want to. So then the forest fire represents, it's another aspect of Krishna's Leela. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the forest fire, there's two forest fires. I think the next chapter or the chapter after.
It's the different version in the
Yeah, there's two fires. Yeah. Yeah. So there's this one, and then there's another one coming in the next couple of chapters. So this forest fire represents hatred and arguments between Vaishnavas or different religions and disrespecting each other's deities. It can also represent any type of clash or conflict. So we're seeing that right now in the world. Right? There's this whole thing against the Muslims at the moment. And everyone's taking it very seriously. You know, in Australia, we just had our election. You know, there's that one senator called Pauline Hanson. She has the One Nation
Greens.
Party, you've heard?
Greens.
Huh?
Greens.
Greens? Not the Greens.
One Nation.
One Nation? Yes. Pauline Hanson. She's One Nation. Maybe you don't know her, maybe you do know. Anyway, she got 500,000 votes. There's only 24 million people in Australia. She got 500,000 votes. And basically her policy is kick out all the Muslims. That's basically her policy. And you see, Donald Trump, he's only got to that position, and now he's going to run against Hillary Clinton. I don't think he'll win, but he only got to that position basically because all this rhetoric about the Muslims. And then everything all over the world now, there's this whole thing, Muslim, 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 Muslim. The Muslim people are nice people. Right? There's just a few crazies amongst them. Same as amongst us. Well, we're Hindus, technically. There's some really crazy Hindus. You know, the Hindus have done terrible things in the past. Hindus have done horrible things in the past. Christians have done horrible things. Now the Muslims, some of them are doing it. So now there's this whole thing where all the religions begin to conflict and fight. That's happening right now. So this is what this anatta represents, when all the religions begin to quarrel. Right? It also says it can represent any type of clash or conflict. So it's an anatta in the heart. Some people just like to argue, just for the sake of arguing. Do you have that anatta in your heart? We all do it. Sometimes we just want to argue just for the sake of it. Someone says something to you and say, no, it wasn't. No, that didn't happen like that. I didn't do that. You just like to argue. Especially husband and wives do it. They like it. It's like every day. Just arguing for the sake of arguing. But people do that, and we do that sometimes. It's an anatta. You just want to argue for the sake of arguing. So this forest fire is representing that. It's conflict between the different religions or even just people in general. Then the residents of Vrindavan woke up extremely disturbed by the great fire threatening to burn them. Thus they took shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who by his spiritual potency appeared like an ordinary human being. So we'll read the purport.
This
Shruti already
mantra state Sarupa Nitya Satya Maya Shaya. The Lord Eternal Potency named Maya incarnate his original form. Thus, within the eternal spiritual body of the Supreme Lord, the infinite potency, which effortlessly manifests all existence upon the omniscient desire of Achyutra. The residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna, thinking, this blessed boy will certainly be empowered by God to save us. They remember the words on the site as the meaning, spoken the words ceremony to Krishna. Anena Sarva, Vrindavan, Priyum, Ajas, Thursday. By his power, they will easily be able to cross over all obstacles. Therefore, the residents of Vrindavan, to have full faith in Krishna, took shelter of God in hopes of being saved from the impending disasters.
Any points there? So, by Krishna's potency or mercy or power, we can easily cross any obstacle. So, the Vrijbasis, they woke up, they see the fire, but then who do they immediately turn to? They immediately turn to Krishna. Why? Because Garga Muni already said, back in chapter 8, this boy is as good as Narayan. And they keep seeing it. Right? They see he kills Bakasura, Arishtasura, Agasura. They saw Putana. Everyone saw that in Vrindavan. They just saw Kaliya. Everyone saw that. So they have a lot of faith in him. So when the fire comes, they think they immediately turn to him. Okay, maybe he's not God, but Gargamuni said he's as good as God. He's definitely a demigod. He's not ordinary. So whenever something happens, they immediately run to Krishna. And that's what we should do. If we're not doing it already, you have to learn to do it. I do it. When was that? 2009, when I had that car accident. And then the car was going the wrong way. I was going, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So I tend to do that when things get really difficult. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So we should learn to do that. That's the whole point. Every day we're chanting 16 rounds. That's just practice. The real stuff comes when the real times come. Then you start saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Start praying to Krishna. So that's what the bridge busters do. And there's some problem? Krishna. We should also be like that. If you're not doing it, then learn to do it. But if you are doing it, then good. Vrindavan's resident said, Krishna, Krishna, O Lord of all opulence, O Rama, possessor of unlimited power, this most terrible fire is about to devour us, your devotees. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. It's good. You learn this verse. It's a good verse to learn. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Hey, Rama, Mita, Vikrama. They're praying, Krishna and Balaram. So the acharyas point out they have faith in both of these boys, Krishna, and they think Balaram's the same. Balaram has the same potency, because Balaram does, he has the same potency. So they see whenever there's a problem, hey, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Rama, Rama, they call out to Krishna, they call out to Balaram. O Lord, we are your true friends and devotees. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drive away all fear. So, they don't want to die for one reason. Hands up if you want to die. It's natural, we don't want to die. When you're about to die, you do everything to protect your life. It's natural. We don't want to die. But why don't we want to die? Right? Materialists, they don't want to die. Why? Because if they die, they can't enjoy sense gratification. The devotee is exactly the opposite. We don't want to die because we want to keep serving Krishna. And if we do die, we're just going to serve Krishna anyway. So it's not an issue. But the natural instinct is to save the body. But the devotee's concern is, I want to serve Krishna. So they're saying, Krishna, save us, because we will serve you. If we die, who's going to feed you tomorrow? Well, that's their consciousness. That's prema. Seeing his devotees so disturbed, Sri Krishna, the infinite Lord of the universe and possessor of infinite power, then swallowed the terrible forest fire. So he swallowed the fire. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, who swallowed the fire? It actually wasn't Krishna. Who swallowed the fire? It was in Vasudeva aspect. Who swallowed the fire? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it was Krishna's Samharika Shakti. Because his prema, or his love for his devotees, reacted within him. What happens when someone calls out to you? If one of your children or someone you love, they call out to you, your prema just manifests. You just go immediately, save them. So as soon as Krishna heard them all calling, Krishna, Krishna, then Krishna's prema just came out. Right? But then, Krishna's shaktis, Krishna has so many shaktis within him, energy, potencies. the Shakti thought, Krishna doesn't have to do this, I'll do this. It's like, you know, if you see like your guru, your guru's about to, no, I'll do it. Or any devotee should be. Usually we don't serve devotees, we don't serve. We just serve people who raise our profile. You see, when the guru is there, everyone walks behind the guru. Or everyone likes to be really close to the guru. Or when there's a photograph, everyone comes like close to the guru. It's your profile, that's what it is. So you want to serve the person who's going to elevate your profile. But you won't serve like the devotee sitting next to you. But actually, we should. We should just serve any devotee. So the Shakti within Krishna, he thought, Krishna doesn't have to do this, I'll swallow the fire. So that the Shakti is called Samharika Shakti. So this Shakti came out and took the forest, took the fire, swallowed it all. And everyone thought Krishna did it, but actually he's Shakti. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does Samharika
mean? I don't know.
Destroy.
Okay. Destruction. Krishna's Shakti of destruction. So tomorrow night we'll do chapter 18. So please come. Hare Krishna. Actually, I've got some exams.